Hi, welcome to another episode of Life After Shift. This is episode 3. Today we're going to be talking about this one article that I came across, and it was done by this one website called The Other Shift. And it looks like that this couple, similar to myself and my wife, Carolyn, kind of a similar couple. They do shift work, but it looks like they don't have kids, but they did a lot of research on working parents. And so they kind of went through a bunch of articles and podcasts and lectures and then tried to provide 8 survival tips for the working parent. But, so I'm just going to kind of go over these and we'll kind of review each point. So looking at this first point of a survival tip for the parent who does shift work, it says look after your own health as a single parent. Or I guess they look after your own health as a parent in general. They kind of say that this is like one of the number one. And what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's hard for any parent to look after their own health, because once you become a parent, you always put your child first. And you're so busy taking care of your child and making sure they have everything they could want and need that you kind of forget about yourself and you're no longer a priority. And then you end up going to work forever and then finding out you have pneumonia.
That's never happened. So part of us, there's looking at what as a parent who does shift work, when they're talking about taking care of your own health, one of the first points of that, because they've got little subcategories within there, but sleep as much as you can when you can. I would totally agree with that, because sleep is amazing and we don't get enough of it. However, I do agree that that is very tough to, depending on the age of the children, coming home and wanting to sleep. Sometimes it's hard to just sleep even at nighttime. And while it's easier said than done, I guess their advice is to try and sleep whenever is possible. Maybe this would hit home more with people with little kids, like infants. Because sleep when you can.
It's still hard, though, because you want to do things like, oh, hey, I'll put the kids to bed, and then I'm going to fold the laundry and do the dishes and watch my show or whatever. And so then you end up having to pick between, are you going to clean? Are you going to have any, like, a view time? Or are you just going to go to sleep?
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what this says, is basically to prioritize your sleep instead of housework, jobs, watching TV, playing video games, things like that. But I agree, it's kind of one of those things you gotta decide, you know, because do you want to sleep, or there's all this stuff that needs to get done that you really can't just ignore, but a lot of times we end up doing it. I know a lot of the cleaning part of it, it's like, do you want to clean or do you want to go take a nap? I'd rather go take a nap. And sometimes it's harder for us to get to the point with our shift work and, you know, our kids being so crazy and making lots of mess, to where sometimes we need that added help to where we get a cleaning person to come in and give us a hand. And that itself is a godsend, because I don't know, I can't even remember how life before we had a cleaning lady, even though it wasn't that long ago. However, I know it was tough on you as it is, especially with me being gone, and then when I am here, not wanting to clean up as much, because that's all I do at work is we end up cleaning. And so I think, and as much as having a cleaning lady help us, it still gets really bad in between that we have to still do it. So I can't imagine choosing sleep over some of those chores. But I can see their point as, instead of watching TV or playing video games, I mean, if we have time to watch TV or play video games, usually it's at nighttime that we're able to lay down and watch TV. But then, yeah, by then it's, yeah, if it's nighttime, I'm ready to go to bed.
True.
And they say the dishes will still be there once you wake up. However, if you don't do the dishes, you won't have dishes to eat the next day or so on. So So that one I can kind of, I'm not sure if I agree completely, but in a fantasy world, I would love to say that, yes, sleep as much as you can. The next thing they say for taking care of yourself was to drink more water. Seems like it's a basic thing to do, that everyone's just going to drink water, but probably due to the fact that we drink so much coffee just to stay awake and keep up with the kids, we probably forget to drink that water. And I know that we're trying to get better on it. I know you've gotten a lot better on it, and then you kind of dropped off again mm-hmm. the last week or so. And I have also.
Yesterday I drank 90 ounces.
I think I haven't drank much water in the last 3 days, but I had that new, bought that new hydro flask from Costco, and I've been using it every day. But then I kind of dropped off too a couple days ago.
Yeah.
But it's too easy not to drink it, but you got to make sure
that
we drink it.
I think it's actually easier for me to drink water when I'm at work
mm-hmm.
than when I'm at home.
I would agree. For me too, because we have more access to water, I guess, at work. Like having the water fountains and things a lot easier, whereas our cooler here is out of water and we're stuck with our
tap water,
but we
heaven forbid.
But I don't know, especially with all the stuff that's in our water these days, it's kind of tough to want to drink it. But even with the fridge water, we drink a lot of, but that's, we need to get a new filter, and that's mm-hmm. always a lazy thing of we need to replace the filter. But yeah, going back to water is very important, and we do end up drinking a lot of caffeine just to stay awake and keep up that we forget the water. But I agree. I think this point here with drink more water is a good point, and it's mm-hmm. easy to do. It's just a habit you got to get into, especially if...
I drank 90 ounces of water, but I also drank 30 ounces of coffee yesterday. So
between the 30 ounces of coffee and the 750 milliliters of wine the night before, once the kids go to bed. Coffee and wine, so you got to remember to drink some water in between, huh?
I'm trying.
All right, number three within the taking care of yourself is fill yourself with healthy fuel and stay active. I think that's a pretty good thing. I mean, it's a mm-hmm. habit and something that you have to force yourself to do,
mm-hmm.
Especially if you're expecting to work anywhere from 8 to 16 hours of shift work, and then also check, you know, take care of the kids after. I think nutrition is very important, because I know when I eat like crap, I feel like crap and I lose my energy. But when I am eating healthy, I feel like I have a lot of energy and able to keep up with everyone at that point, at that time.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty good about eating healthy and eating things from home. I mean, we still occasionally eat out, but it's not like we're eating fast food every single day or anything like that.
I think I honestly haven't had fast food in what, a week now? A couple weeks?
Ooh.
I think a lot of it, aside, I guess if you consider going to the co-op and getting a salad bowl, but that's not really fast food.
No, that's not fast food.
Or I think I would say we've eaten out. The last time we ate out was almost 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah, like I said, I think we've been doing pretty good about
but not
eating,
fast food like McDonald's or the horrible stuff.
Eating food that we have, and my last two shifts, I brought my own food. I didn't eat the highly processed, high sodium cafeteria food.
And you would think that being a cafeteria in a hospital would be a lot more healthier.
It's not. It's also very expensive to eat at the cafeteria.
So that they're making the double the money. They're making the money by charging for the food, and then they'll make the money back
mm-hmm.
when you have to go to the hospital for all that crappy food.
True.
And then the number four thing, which is just the sub-category of take care of yourself, is make time for the things you want to do. While we all want to have, you know, time for the things we do, that's kind of hard to do.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard.
Because there's so much that we want to do that we can't do or don't do, you know? It's things as simple as you and I just say, hey, let's go out and get some breakfast. And
mm-hmm.
not fast food, but, you know, go to a nice sit-down breakfast.
Like, if you and I want to, you know, have a dinner double date with another couple, it makes it hard because one of us is working on a Friday or Saturday night where other couples aren't working. They're like, okay, well, when's your next...
Days off together.
Days off together on a Friday, and we're like, well, we got one in March and one in April. So,
you pick which is the best month for you.
So sometimes that makes it hard too, because those are things that you want to do. You want to hang out with your friends. You want to see people and be social, but it's hard when your friends work a normal 9-to-5 and don't understand why you can't hang out on a Friday night.
Yeah, and I mean, even aside from friends, just being able to do what you want to do at night, you know, when the kids go to sleep and now you've got time to yourself and you can watch your shows, listen to your podcast, do what you want to do, that's when you're like, hey, it's time for bed, I'm worn out. Or, you know, you want to be able to, hey, now I need to go do my grocery shopping, or now I want to go do something without the kids. Mm-hmm. But now it's already late and the day's already over. So that makes it tougher. But but if you can find it, find time to do something for yourself, that's always great. Number 5 is don't punish yourself with small mistakes. So they're saying it's not the end of the world if we forget about a play date. Mm-hmm. Although with another child, but although if someone scheduled a play date with me and our kids and they forget about it, I would be kind of pissed. Especially, I'm like, do you know how long it takes to get these kids ready in the morning or get these kids together? It takes me about an hour just to get them out the door. And then when they finally start calming down, you get to where you're going. And then they're like, oh, sorry, I forgot. Yeah, that would kind of piss me off. So, I don't know. As long as you're not on that end of the forgetting a play date. But, yeah, I can see small mistakes, you know. You got to kind of let go of the small things, which is tough for me on certain aspects.
I think including in that is, like, you know, getting maybe, like, one of the kids, like, annoyed you and you reacted more than you should have. And because you were tired.
So don't punish the kids for small mistakes.
Well, I'm just saying, like, don't punish yourself, you know, like, because you feel bad that you overreacted.
Yeah.
It's not that big a deal. I'm sure the kids, you know, they're over it and they don't care anymore, but you're still thinking about how you responded.
Definitely. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of times where I just blow up on them and I'm like, oh, I feel bad. They're going to hate me. They're never going to speak to me again. But, yeah, they probably just brush it off and forget about it or, you know, kind of learn from it. But I don't know if they actually learn from it. But, but it is something that I do dwell on occasionally, like, just because, yeah, after work, I don't know, it's either from working, being up all night or not, you know, being hungry or, you know, it could be anything from PTSD. It could be any one of those numbers that we experience. And then the kids just kind of add on to it and... So, all right. So, okay, so the next point, that was just all number one with subcategory, all of just taking care of yourself. So the second tip here is, they say, is build a parent. It says single parent, and this whole thing is about single parents, but I think this is any parent, you know, family, couple with kids can, doing shift work can relate to. But it does say build a support network. And I think the support network is very important. Mm-hmm. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to have people that are there to help you and understand you. And, you know, if we didn't have our parents that were helping us, you know, watch the kids here and there on the weekends or so that we can have a date night or... You know, I don't know what we would do without their support.
Yeah, I can't even imagine those people that do all the same things that we do, but without having their parents there. You know, shift work is tough as it is, and then trying to raise a kid, like they say, it takes a village, and I don't know if the village is big enough, but it does take a lot of people, especially with our schedules, to be able to say, hey, you know, reach on to your parents, rely on your parents to help with the kids, or those when the times that your parents can't do it, calling on my parents and having the kids go there the days that we both work. Without that network or being able to say, hey, you know what, I have this interview, I have this, you know, meeting at work, I have this appointment, because, you know, how else do you get your appointments done, you know, with the toddlers that are mm-hmm. wanting to run around, they can't sit still because they want to play.
You know how hard it is for me to schedule a dental appointment?
I know. How many times have you had to cancel it? You got one coming up soon, though.
I know, but, I mean, I can't take two toddlers with me while I'm in the dentist chair, you know?
Like, that's where you're like, please, more volume. No, but yeah, no, that's tough. So that's another thing. Yeah, we've got to schedule our appointments around each other's schedule, find a day that we're both home, so that way the other parent can be here to watch the kid while we get those appointments done. And without family, I think it would be very hard. And I don't know how some of these people with family not nearby mm-hmm. do it. But that's where you got to rely on friends and, you know, other close neighbors that have mm-hmm. kids the same age. What if you don't have close family or a supportive, you know, reliable friends? Because I guess that's an important thing, having a supportive and reliable friends. Because, you know, everyone's got friends, but how reliable can they be? There are a lot of friends that aren't reliable. They say to consider a licensed 24-hour daycare. Mm-hmm. Basically, what to consider is to basically find one in your area. Is there a license and up-to-date minimum age center?
I think that's pretty hard to find.
Yeah, I was going to say, trying to find a 24-hour daycare is going to be very, very tough. I'm sure there is some out here, mm-hmm. The far and few.
And then what's the cost on
that? But that's what I was going to say, the cost. That's where you've got this daycare that's open 24 hours, but they're probably charging an arm and a leg, because they, if you're using a 24-hour daycare, you'll probably need them. And then they have the advantage. And then you have to consider that since there are only a few out there, is there a waiting list? Are they able to accommodate you, or do you have to wait on the waiting list? And then you got to kind of do the whole investigation, do your research. Are they...
And that's not really that helpful for things that you need to do, like get a massage, go to the dentist, get your hair done. Things that you can't really take young kids to. You can't really drop them off at a 24-hour daycare for just a couple hours, you know? They're going to charge you for, like, a full-time spot.
Yeah.
You can't just willy-nilly drop your kids off at daycare. That's not how daycares work.
So this probably is more referring to the fact that when you go to work using a daycare, right, rather than family, if you don't have family or friends to watch your kids during shift, get a 24-hour daycare. Again, that's all tough to find, but mm-hmm. even with that, you know, the answer to your problem is the YMCA. We've got 2 hours a day.
You can't leave the YMCA, though.
They don't need to know that. You just go.
Oh, my goodness.
You drop them off at the YMCA at the childcare. You go to your appointment. They need to get a hold of you. They'll probably look in the locker room or wherever you mark down that you'll be, but then they'll try to call you. Or in this case, they'll call me because you put my phone number down. So, but, you know, you gotta think outside the box, and that might work in a pinch for people that don't, you're not supposed to leave the facility, but if you have to, in a pinch, go to an appointment, drop them off at the YMCA.
Oh my gosh.
So, as we were talking before in a previous episode about the au pair, or a live-in nanny, which we did have the live-in nanny, that's something they also say to consider if you can't find a 24-hour daycare or have family. And that is definitely an option, but wasn't one of ours for the au pair part. Because one thing to consider, it says, is can you afford services such as this? And I think, you know, it's a good idea having an au pair. There's usually, if you're not familiar with au pairs, a lot of times there are people from other countries too that are over here studying abroad from you know, other countries like Germany and places like that. But what you're doing is you're giving them a place to stay and live in your house, and in return, they're going to be helping and watching your kid when they're not going to school or they're in between. They're going to be doing that, but they're only limited, like, what'd you say, certain hours?
Yeah, the service that I looked into, they could only work like 10 hours a day.
Yeah, and I mean, 10 hours a day is great if you're doing daily or up to 50 hours or 40 hours a week, which is fine. But for us and for those that work more than, you know, or 12-hour shifts, 48-hour shifts, 24-hour shifts, it's not something that's ideal. But yeah, I mean, for those, if you're working weird hours that are, and I doubt the au pair, if it was the middle of the night, they would just be sleeping the same time as the kids would be sleeping. But, So can you mark that off and say, hey, does that count?
I'm not sure. I just saw that they could only work 10 hours a day, and considering I work 12 hours a day, I just took it off the table as even an option.
Yeah, I know. So we went down the route of the live-in nanny for years, and that was a tough thing as well, because we went through so many live-in nannies. One, because live-in nannies are expensive, let alone a nanny with our hours. Just a babysitter was expensive. So live-in nannies, you know, with our hours and what we needed per week would end up being probably $2,000 or $3,000 a month. And that is way out of our wheelhouse of how much we can afford. Mm-hmm. So luckily we had a mother-in-law house they came with the house, and we were able to kind of barter our mother-in-law house, which was fully furnished, internet, utilities, everything, and trade that for a nanny. It was, if we were to rent out that house itself, we'd probably be able to get $1,200-$1,300 a month. So with that, plus a little bit of cash, we were able to get some nannies. But the quality of our nannies, some of our nannies, I don't even know. It was quite the adventure. Some lasted only a couple months, some lasted a year. But we went through so many different nannies, and there was one or two that we were okay, that we liked, but the rest were just, I don't know. We thought we did a good job screening them, and we went through background checks and interviewing them, and, you know, first they would help clean the house after they made a mess with the kids when we were gone, but then they stopped cleaning. And then we've tried younger 20-year-old kids all the way up to, what was it, 60, 70-year-old, whatever the last.
She was not that old.
She was like 50, 60.
Yeah.
And we thought that would be better, and then ended up not being better, so I don't even know what the ideal nanny, age-wise, I don't think age had any factor, because they all sucked. And yeah. I just remember having an interview, so many of them, and then just the ones that we liked end up leaving because they, you know, I guess, you know, weren't planning on being a nanny forever.
Totally.
But
it's really hard to find a good fit.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider and a lot to check. And you got to check the driving history and get references. And are they training, you know, CPR and things like that? Luckily, you know, if they weren't, we could always teach them, but, you know, do they have a working cell phone? We had a nanny that, you know, didn't have a cell phone. Every so often it wouldn't pay their bill. So then it's like, you know, we need to keep in touch. So.
Yes, we've had quite the variety of nanny situations.
Yep.
I think we got a good thing going now, just working around each other's schedules. I think it's unique and working out fairly well.
And that brings us to the third point, where it says, be honest with your employer and establish a trusted relationship. And I think that's very important. Like you said, if you know, you talk to your employer and you let them know this is the situation you have, that most of the time, you know, if it's a, depending on the job, that they can work with you. And that's where it comes in real, it comes in handy for us, where your work was able to say, hey, you know what, instead of going part-time or picking your own schedule that way, let's just work around your schedule. And they took your schedule and worked around mine, and so far it's working out great. Again, gets to the point where we kind of are opposite shifts, and one of us is always coming or going, but for the kids' sake, I think it's working out pretty well.
Yeah, I think it's good for them to have one of us home at all times.
Yeah, and I mean, I think if you had to pick which shift you were on between your 12s, whether it's morning shift, night shift, or, you know, in between, mids, stuff like that, is, I think each one has their ups and downs, whether it's childcare or being able to sleep. Because you never know, people working in call centers, you know, 24-hour operations, it's...
I just think it's nice not having to deal with daycare. We don't have to deal with the kids picking up bad habits at daycare or picking up germs at daycare or, you know, Walter being too crazy and putting a kid in a chokehold at daycare.
It's going to happen one of these days, whether it's daycare or kindergarten.
I'm just hoping he grows out of it before kindergarten.
But now, point number four says, you know, create a routine and structure as a, and structure for the kids. And I think that's very important. I think that does help us out a lot. Despite our crazy schedule and everything else, we I think we pretty much have the same routine for the kids, whether it's a certain bedtime that they go to bed around and the same time. Meal times are about regular around the same time every day. It's consistently the same sleep environment, so it's not like they're always coming into our bed or back and forth. Occasionally they come in our bed, like last night, Mina came in our I actually made her, I said, come lay down with me, that way I didn't have to lay down in her bed any longer. But it's pretty routine amongst all the other chaos, but you know, they have their boundaries, they know what they are supposed to do, what they can't do, knowing, you know, they can't swear. Avery knows things like what's can't be on doing inappropriate stuff on his phone.
Except for Walter calling Steve from Blue's Clues. What did he call him?
I don't even remember. It was an ass?
Oh, yeah, a freaking ass.
Oh, yeah, that was... He had his moment.
It's right there, you freaking ass. We're all like, what? What did you just say?
So another tip, which, you know, it doesn't really apply to us because our child takes the bus, but it says be open to carpooling for school-aged children. Mm-hmm. So if you have other people in the area that you know or at least trust and they're taking their kid to school, you know, maybe you can get them to help take your kid to school. Right. For us, we're lucky enough that Avery has a bus stop down the street from our house, and he's got to the point where he's pretty self-sufficient to where he will get up, get ready when his alarm goes off, get his breakfast, get his backpack, things like that, and then leave to catch the bus and then come home by the bus. So that helps out a lot. But if you don't have that option, I think carpooling is a great idea. Especially, you
know. I think it would be hard for us to carpool, though, because the kids can't ride in the front seat, and then you only have so many seats in your car, so carpooling might be kind of difficult.
Well, I guess more of other them carpooling with other people.
I know, but like the whole point of carpooling is like sometimes we won't reciprocate. And sometimes you drive.
That doesn't work in our shift. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it doesn't work. But, I mean, all my days off, you know. But the problem is, yeah, when I get home, it's going to be right around when school time anyway. So it's not like I'll have, like, one day out of the week to be able to take someone.
We only have, like, one open seat, but...
Yeah, especially with all the kids, yeah.
Well, in my car. You don't have any open seats in your car.
Yeah. Number six is to embrace night shift as a parent. It says if you're a single parent but have the support of your family and friends nearby, where you can drop your child off for the night, or better yet, come to your place to look after your child, this may be a workable option. Which, not a bad idea.
We did that with Avery for a while. Yeah. He went to my cousin's house.
Yeah.
When I was working night shift, I would drop him off at my cousin's house and then come pick him up in the morning.
Definitely, yeah. And they sleep, and it also is not too bad for the people watching the kids, so that way they're sleeping mm-hmm. too, so it kind of works out to where it's just like someone will just going somewhere to sleep. It's like a sleepover. And then they list some of the pros to working night shift as a parent. It says you can sleep during the day if your child is of school age. That is a plus, but not for a while for us.
Except for when they get out of school at like 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you work until, you don't get home from work until 8 a.m., and then you probably don't get to sleep right away, you know, till like 9 or 10, and then you gotta get up at 2:30
yeah.
to go get your kid from school at 3, that's not a lot of sleep.
Yeah, true. The next one is greater financial reward to work in the night shift. That night shift differential.
That is something I miss. That night shift differential. Especially weekend night shift differential.
On a holiday.
Oh, on a holiday. Yeah.
So then they also say slower pace at some industries. Mm-hmm. So definitely not labor and delivery, but, you know, different type of work, I guess. You probably don't have to do all the admin stuff that you have to do because mm-hmm. your boss is around. You just have to do your actual work.
It is slightly...
No busy... You don't have to do busy work.
And well, there's no scheduled procedures. There's no versions. Or there's no scheduled C-sections. And there's no scheduled inductions on night shift. So night shift can be...
beneficial.
Sometimes slower. Other times... I mean, you just never know, but... just because you don't have all that scheduled things, it can be slower.
And they also mentioned about the commute. I can see that.
Yeah.
It depends, I guess, if you're getting off, but if you're giving off work in the morning and you get stuck in that traffic, everyone else going to work and you're going in the same direction,
yeah,
that can be
depends.
A problem.
But, you know, I think for the most part, I'm going to work so much earlier than most people.
True.
You know, I'm leaving my house at 6:30 a.m., and I think most people are, like, getting up at 6:30 a.m.
Unless you're heading to Seattle.
That's true. That is true. But I think for the most part, my commute isn't really affected by traffic.
Yeah.
Parking at the hospital, though.
That's a different thing.
That's a different thing. I do like working the weekends because... I do get a better parking spot.
So, they say that night shift creates a close, supportive working team due to fewer resources. Would you say that your team
yes.
at night shift was a lot closer than your team during day shift?
Yeah, I think so. I did feel a stronger bond between the sisters of night shift than day shift. Just because when you're there on days... there's just more people around and there's more resources, like you said, than on night shift. It's like, well, you're it. So, you know, you kind of all support each other a lot more than on days.
I agree. Fair enough, yeah. Number 7 says, consider if there are other job opportunities. So they're talking about basically if this job that you're in doesn't work, consider it other opportunities. Okay, I mean, I guess I can see that. It just depends what other job opportunities. Are you talking about maybe staying in the same industry? Or are you going through a whole nother job? And that can be, you know, tough because, you know, how do you just switch from what you're doing?
Right.
But in your case, if going to a different hospital with other openings for different shifts, if, you know,
true.
Night shift doesn't work or day shift doesn't work or certain things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, going to a different department, going from 48 hours to 24 hours and vice versa. That can always be an option. And number 8. Oh, take your kids to work. All right. I guess there are some places where you could probably get away with that. And we do know a few people that are able to take their kids to work. Mm-hmm. Works out good. I don't know how well that would work out at the hospital.
No.
It's not like you guys have daycare there. You just put someone in one of the laboring rooms and put the kids and go play with the toys there. But I'd be afraid with all the, as much as they clean the hospitals, just the floors and places in a hospital, probably not for kids.
No.
And I can't really just can't take the kids to the firehouse and say, all right, you know, just drop them off and all right, and we'll get a call. You guys stay here. In theory, it works out. I mean, if, you know, they're old enough, like our oldest kid, but not toddlers. I can't leave a toddler. Even though we're a bunch of toddlers at the fire station, I can't leave them alone while we go on a call and then come back. And I'm sure the Chiefs won't like that. But this article says, you know, basically this couple went out for dinner on a rare Friday night, and the waitress who took the order had the baby on her hip. They said it seemed odd at the time, but the situation seemed to work, I guess. She later put the baby down in a corner on a cot out of the restaurant and had some toys, and she was able to watch them. But, you know, it depends with that. You know, everyone seemed to be happy. Customers can kind of understand or usually can be fine with that. If it works, works. Do you? Yep. But unfortunately, it's not something we can do in our industry.
No.
But there are shifts out there.
Never work at the hospital.
Yeah, but I'm sure there are some shift workers that are able to possibly get away with that. All right, so that ends this episode, episode 3. And we'll be back next week for some more. All right, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find more information about us on www.lifeaftershift.com. Thanks.